If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
What's happening, friends? Welcome back. This is Xbox Showcase. There are Unlocked live show. There's so much to cover. That was a very, very busy hour. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. I'm joined once again by Miranda Sanchez, Brandon Tyrell, and Paris Lilly. Well, let's dive in. Let's start with the game everybody knew we were going to see, the big one, the signature launch title for the fall, Halo Infinite. Paris, I want to go your way first here.
You know, I've been anticipating this literally for 5 years, and obviously since the announcement a couple years ago that Infinite was coming. So to finally see it and to finally see that, yes, Halo is going open world. You see the exploration aspects that are going to be in the game. You know, there was speculation about this grapple hook, grapple shot that was coming. We saw that in action. We saw the variety of gunplay that you're going to have. You're clearly seeing that they're centering this campaign story around Master Chief, and now the Banished are coming in as an enemy. I'm very excited for this. This is what I wanted to see from 343. I wanted to see them obviously pay honor to the past of Halo, but also look ahead to the future at the same time. And I think they did that with this. I'm excited.
Yeah, you mentioned that cold open trailer was made. The very clear message there was you're Master Chief and not anyone else in this video game, which is what everybody wants to see. Brandon Tyrell, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, what do you say about it? It's exactly what we needed to see. I totally agree with Paris. I think they're paying sort of homage to the original Halo and kind of bringing it back to its roots. It did really feel like a more grounded, strangely self-contained kind of story, considering now it seems open world. That map interface was awesome and looked really expansive. I imagine there's going to be an emphasis on exploration. I also really love the comic relief that they added with the pilot. It's very clear that they're trying to inject this with a bunch of personality, which is, I think, something that can kind of get lost in the heady sort of hard sci-fi of Halo. And the last thing I'll say is I love the antagonist, the sort of the war chief of the Banished, the way he was speaking directly to you, the player, as Master Chief. I think a lot of games, it's a given that the Master Chief is just going to overcome all obstacles. And the note that he struck that I really liked was, I want you to be as strong as possible because it'll make it more interesting for me later on. I love everything he's putting down. That grappling hook was great. All the guns had an awesome pop. A lot to like here.
Well, his name, by the way, is War Chief Escherum, and I know that because Miranda Sanchez and I had a very unique privilege the other day of getting to see all of that early and sit down with a couple of the developers from 343 afterwards, including Chris Lee, the project lead, studio head, who you saw in the video there. So, Miranda, we learned a lot more about Halo, you and I, this week that wasn't covered in that gameplay video. So I want to toss to you here to sort of fill in some of those gaps that answer some of the questions that maybe people have after watching that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you guys want to read all this, we do have four articles up that will go a little bit more in depth than I think we can here. But we really wanted to talk to them specifically for me too, because I'm so much of like a guides person. I want to like, how far can we actually dig into this game? Like, what does open world mean for Halo? Like, that's, when you think about open world games that I think are really successful, they have a lot to do, right? And they're interesting. But how does that fit with Halo? Like, are we getting a bunch of side quests? Like, are there like a bunch of collectibles? Is this going in the vein of something else? And I think that they're going to find a way to make this unique to Halo. When I think about this, I keep looking back at Gears 5 and thinking about how well they did their kind of open world section. Mm-hmm. It's like still following a path, but there are different ways you can approach it, right? And so when we were talking to the developers, that's kind of the vibe that I got from this, that yes, you have, as we saw in the gameplay, you get these three objectives of these things that you can go tackle, and you get to choose how you go about doing that, not necessarily having to go from point A to point B to point C. And meanwhile, you might find some cool things along the way. If you see it right now, like the map, there's that upgrade tab. That was a huge thing for me. I was like, what does that mean? There's obviously no experience bar, because that would be real weird. Like, this is an RPG, like, nor do we want it to be. And so what we were explained was that the upgrades are actually going to be more of the equipment system that Chief gets. So as we saw, the grapple shot, which is the official name for it, is an upgrade that Chief will find while exploring the ring. So like, you're going to find things that kind of augment his kit in different ways that are like on a cooldown timer. And I'm not too sure if those themselves will be upgraded through things like, oh, maybe you get like a cooldown reduction or something. I don't know if that's a thing. We're not entirely sure. And they didn't really want to go into it yet. And so I'm very excited to learn more about that, because I'm really curious to see how much that's going to change the pace of the game. But as far as we saw in the gameplay trailer, I am pretty pleased to see that the upgrades didn't seem like they were too weird. If anything, they're like, you know, we just wanted to look back at some of the best moments in Halo. Like, what are the things that we really love from the original games? And they said with the whole equipment system is, you know, from Halo 3, and that they really wanted to bring that back. So like right now we see like the little drop shield popping out, and it's really cool to see them integrate that in a unique way with the open world. And then of course there's collectibles that we all know and love, like the crazy skulls. Like, right. I'm very excited to see how they're going to integrate those, or terminals. They didn't directly confirm that those are in the game, but I mean, if they're not there, then they're not serving the best parts of Halo. So I'm sure they absolutely will be.
Well, before I give my take, I actually wanted to stick with you here for a second, Miranda. The big question is, like, is it open world? How open world is it? You get a sense of it from the gameplay, but we did get a little bit more clarification from 343 on that.
Yes. Yeah, so it is open world. It is still a linear story, though. So like, there is still they always comes back to the story. Like, this is Chief's story. They're not trying to make it like super crazy open in the fact they could do anything. I mean, I guess you could like choose the story how you want. Like, that's not the point here. However, they do want you to be able to go and traverse the ring in the way you want to. Yeah. So as we saw on that map, and like even just like looking at this gameplay here, like there's just a lot of gaps in the ring. Like, as you can see, it kind of looks like it's being built or something, and or maybe like reconstructed. And you will be able to close those gaps through as the game progresses, which is going to be very interesting. And you will be able to go back or like around anywhere after you reach a certain point in the game. At any point, you can just go back wherever you want. So if you like, you miss something, you can go back. They also kind of seem to allude to like, hey, maybe you find something cool, but you can't get there because you don't have the right equipment. So maybe sort of like that Metroid style of look at that cool thing, I'll come back later for it. So there is definitely an openness to it. And I'm, again, very curious to see how that actually plays out in this, like how interesting those activities will be outside of the
beginning. You mentioned we've got four stories between the two of us, two from you, two from me, that go into a ton more detail. In fact, one of the things I talked to them about was about Infinite as a platform, how we shouldn't expect to see an Infinite 2. So please, after this show, go to IGN.com, check all that out. Now, of course, I don't want to move on from Halo yet. Since you and I did get to dig in and find out some more stuff, I'm curious, Brandon and Paris, did you guys have any sort of, were you left with questions after watching that?
I think you kind of answered one of them, that it will be kind of an upgradable equipment system in the game with Chief as you're exploring through the world. Like, again, the grapple shot was an excellent example of that. So I would love to see more examples of the type of equipment that you'll find through the world. I would also like to see how discoverable is everything going to be, since it is now an open world? And I understand that the story will stay linear. Like, I would equate that even to something like Destiny, where there's a story in it, but you can still go do side missions. You can do other things while you're working on the story. So that's kind of my question right now, is the biggest one. When I drop into the Halo ring, can I just do whatever I want right away, or am I kind of locked into the story elements before it opens up into the bigger world, I should say?
Brandon, how about you? You left with any anything after that?
Yeah, my question is just sort of, how does the open world enhance the experience? I mean, I think most people can agree Bungie and then 343 kind of really did a decent job at more than decent, I would say, at creating a through line through this story. So I'm curious how that pacing is going to be affected by the open world elements. The only other question that I had is all story stuff, and we're not going to know about it until the game's out. But Halo is a series of escalating stakes, right? Like, things just keep getting more grave and more dire and worse and worse. And so the story seems very narrow in scope right now, as far as Master Chief and the Banished goes. I'm very curious where it uses that springboard to go in the story.
Well, I did ask them about story stuff, and they are being careful. They are going to wrap up those loose ends from Halo 5, but it sounds like they are really trying to focus on starting to tell a new story. It is going to wrap up what has been the Forerunner saga. And yeah, for me, it did a great job of evoking Halo 1, which, when Miranda and I talked to Paul Crocker and Chris Lee, that was a big thing for them. That was a big goal for the team. They want to evoke that feeling of first setting foot on the Halo ring in Halo Combat Evolved. So I also think 343 rocks at weapon audio. Sound so good. Really, really love that. And yeah, the grapple shot, that is going to be interesting in multiplayer. That is going to be interesting to see how people deal with that and sort of make it happen and do all sorts of cool tricks in multiplayer.
We did also see 5 new weapons in that.
Cool. And those are actually detailed. You have details on those in one of your stories, Miranda.
Yes, in the open world one, along with some other things like that you can't pat the animals. You can only shoot them on accident.
Yeah, they're there for show and to be scared off, but occasionally also murdered, apparently. But all right, the Xbox Game Showcase wasn't just about Halo. We did get Fable at the end, which we're going to talk all about. So we're going to take a quick break. We've got lots more to talk about. And by the way, just a reminder, stick around later for tons of live panels and interviews from Comic-Con at home right here on IGN coming up after this show. But for now, we'll be back to talk more Xbox right after this.
Unlocked Live is presented by CBS All Access. Stream the new series Star Trek Lower Decks starting August 6th. Visit cbs.com/LowerDecks to try 1 week free. And presented by the Army National Guard. To find out more about how the National Guard is delivering food, building hospitals, and working in our communities during the COVID pandemic, visit nationalguard.com/esports.
This year, Comic-Con at Home is streaming to you on IGN, and now you can watch it unfold on TikTok.
I love this show!
Celebrity interviews, epic trailers, cosplay, collectibles, and unforgettable moments from the biggest show in entertainment can now be crammed right into the palm of your hand. Check out IGN's TikTok for today's Comic-Con at Home challenge. Whoa!
News, Games, and More is IGN's live news show every day of the week that covers all the day's news about games, movies, comics, and of course, more. This is our daily live show that takes a rotating cast of IGN talent, going over all the latest news of the day while taking live questions and comments from chat. We're live every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. See you there.
Hey there! Do you have opinions on games, movies, TV, or other weird stuff on the internet? You can take part in our new show, Power Ranking, where you can vote on all your favorite things on the internet. Go do it now! It. Do it! Just go!
Do vote. It!
Go vote!
The next generation of video gaming is on the horizon, and IGN is here to bring you the latest PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X news and analysis in our new weekly show, Next Gen Console Watch 2020. We'll bring on the experts to discuss and analyze all the latest developments around these new consoles. From frame rates, services, features, peripherals, and even all the new tech jargon, Next Gen Console Watch 2020 will keep you up to speed on everything leading up to the next generation of gaming. Join us every Friday for a new episode.
Everybody loves watching a speedrun of their favorite game, but what if you got the opportunity to peek into the minds of the developers while they watch their games getting completely wrecked? That's exactly what happens in every episode of Game Devs React to speedruns.
Yeah, you can do that. Oh my god! Yeah.
We invite you to ride along with the developers as they react to, question, and enjoy some of the most skilled players exploiting and speeding through a game it took years of their life to create. Join us every Saturday for a new episode.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, well, you're a little late for the Xbox Game Showcase. Go watch it on IGN's YouTube later. But you're just in time for our discussion of everything that happened. We just got done talking Halo, but there was a whole lot more than that. What a great hour that was. I want to go to our other favorite games, the non-Halo division. I'm gonna just take host privilege here, and I'm going to start on this one. Because I am so happy that Fable got announced. I know a lot of people, it may not have been quite the surprise last thing, because a lot of people thought, well, it's probably going to open Halo and close Fable. It did, but that did not diminish the joy that I got watching that Fable teaser. It was just a teaser, nothing in engine, no gameplay. But the point of that was to establish the tone for the new Fable. It is a reboot. It's not Fable 4, which I'm personally happy to see as a longtime Fable fan. And the thing about Fable that's part of its magic for me is that it's just got that Fable charm to it. There's that sense of humor, that sense of whimsy and wonder, that kind of medieval fantasy vibe, right down to the art style. And for me, you know, we don't know what the game looks like yet from an engine graphics perspective. I expect it's going to be built off of Forza Horizon's open world, you know, four season weather technology, which could be really, really interesting if that's the case. But the tone of it, there was the comedic moment with the frog swallowing the little fairy, and then just that look of this, that establishing that fantasy tone. So Fable for me, so stoked about that. And also, I would say, actually, I'm going to throw to Brandon Tyrell because I know he's a big Obsidian fan, big RPG fan. I know what you're going to say, Brandon Tyrell.
Yes. Tell me why. No, Avowed, I think, is my, it's something that I came away thinking, oh, that one got me. That stole the show for me. Look, Obsidian has an incredible pedigree. These guys know how to make a RPG. They definitely, you know, have proven that they're capable of developing multiple games simultaneously. So I'm not at all worried about the development of this alongside Grounded and The Outer Wilds. This thing just checked all my boxes, right? You've got the fantasy element. It looks very medieval or sort of that high fantasy vibe. It's got the dark crevices in the world, the unexplored places to go to. And it's got, you know, that element of fantasy and magic and supernatural. We saw the skeleton mixed with sort of, like I said, that medieval combat style. The first person stuff is interesting to me. You know, I've always had a love-hate relationship with first person melee, but I think, you know, with Skyrim, we proved it's possible. And I'm really looking forward to the elevation of that. I can't wait for this. I'm so stoked for Avowed.
Yeah, I'm with you. That one... We kind of were, well, we knew Obsidian would be there, but we weren't sure if it would just be Grounded or if it would be the new project. Now, this is presumably, Brandon, from the Pillars of Eternity team, because then you had the Outer Wilds team, which we saw DLC for, and the Grounded team. So this is the Pillars team, which it just looks great. Definitely some Skyrim vibes there. Paris had said while we were all watching together, some Doctor Strange vibes on that with some of the way the spell casting and sort of etherealness of it. But Paris, how about you? What jumped out for you outside of Halo?
So I said in the pre-show, and it actually holds up coming out of this, is Everwild. We actually got to see more of it. And while, you know, again, like you were saying, while we're watching, I just had that Studio Ghibli Miyazaki feel to it. It looked gorgeous. I want to know more about this game. And that's what you want to get out of an early reveal, is get you excited to want to know more about it. So definitely looking forward to more of that. Psychonauts 2, obviously, it's something we've talked about. Nice to see Jack Black. And it looks gorgeous. It looks great. It looks like a lot of fun. It looks like something straight out of the mind of Tim Schafer. So I'm excited for that. But the other game I have to mention here is Forza. And it's not so much that we saw Forza and what it is. It's the fact that it's not coming at launch, and it seems like it's not coming anytime soon. That excites me more than anything, because it shows me that Turn 10 is taking their time and literally making the best Forza game they possibly can. They're not just trying to check a box and make sure that it's available at launch like we all thought. They're like, we're going to take our time, we're going to do this right, and they're going to make an amazing racing game.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you hit on that, because there are such interesting ramifications just past the Forza announcement itself. Of it's a reboot. They're just starting over. So does that mean, I wonder if, like Halo Infinite, will Forza Motorsport just be a platform moving forward, and we won't get another Motorsport 2, a Motorsport 3? But I'm a big fan. I mean, I love Motorsport, but for me, don't tell Turn 10, but Playground, I think Forza Horizon is even better than Forza Motorsport is. So is this going to affect the future of Horizon? You know, what is Horizon going to do? Is it going to reboot, or is it going to continue on? Those games are a little more, I guess, self-contained, because they each take place in a, you know, semi-fictional city. So I'm now left wondering what is going to happen with Horizon. But Miranda, let me go your way next.
Yeah, I guess one of the ones that I was pretty surprised by at the very early part of the show was State of Decay 3. It was just another little cinematic tease. We got a lot of those in the showcase, which is fine. I was not expecting that to be State of Decay 3, because it doesn't open like that, sort of like, here comes a zombie horde masses, and like, it's all spooky. It's like, no, it's all very survival-based, which State of Decay is, but like even more so compounding on, look at this crafting, look at this like one woman just surviving in the wild, and, you know, literally yelling back at like something that is stalking her. And I think it was like a really cool tease for like what this game could evolve to be. I think it's always been such a fun game of like, you know, recruiting everybody, then taking on the zombies, and just kind of like building up your base and like taking over the little town. It's really cool clearing that out. But this feels like it's a lot more expansive. Obviously, we get the snow, so that's pretty cool. So like maybe some more like weather implemented into it. And then also, of course, at the very end of this, like you're seeing the animal aspect of it. It's like, oh, we're going to get zombie animals now? Hot damn, it's going to be a lot. So like beyond just like the zombie enemies that we had before. So that was like a really nice thing to kick off the show and be like, hey, this is coming too. And I didn't think it was going to be like that for a while. So that was a nice surprise. Like everybody else, Avowed was like a big standout for me. I never really connected with Skyrim. I am a Fallout person through and through. I love Fallout so much. And then when I went to Skyrim, I was just like, but why am I not playing Fallout? Because like, I guess like, because mechanically they're pretty similar, even though like the setting's so different. And so then when we did see Avowed, like that was a little bit more of like what I wanted to see from Skyrim, I guess. Even though we didn't really get a whole look at it, it's just like the tone of it, like just the way that everything was set up, it looked really cool. So I am super interested. And I know obviously Obsidian makes excellent RPGs, so I am super stoked for that. And then of course also Psychonauts 2, because I love hearing about that, though I am bummed we didn't get a release date, but I am super excited to see more of what that is gonna be like, just a little bit more teasing for different levels. And then of course Fable as well, because I love skulls. And then you had a fairy, I was like, wow, this is my aesthetic. And then she gets eaten, and you're like, wow, even better.
Yeah, that Psychonauts 2 trailer, I mean, I was looking forward to that game, but that was a great trailer. That was a just absolutely phenomenal trailer. Although, fun fact, that might be the only game in the entire show that's coming to PlayStation 4. At least it had been scheduled for PS4. I don't know if that's changed since Microsoft acquired the studio, but in any case, it looks great. And then on State of Decay 3, with you guys. Now, interestingly, Brandon, you and I are big State of Decay fans, Miranda too, but the Class 4 was the original idea for the sequel to State of Decay way back when Undead Labs first drew it up. And the idea for that is it would be an MMORPG, like just a ton of players. And that trailer tonally was the opposite of an MMORPG. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, what sort of game State of Decay 3 is going to be. All right, we got to take another quick break, but there is lots more still to come. Not just Xbox talk, but again, a full day of Comic-Con at home coverage. So don't move. We'll be right back.
Unlocked Live is presented by CBS All Access. Stream the new series Star Trek Lower Decks starting August 6th. Visit cbs.com/lowerdecks to try 1 week free. And presented by the Army National Guard. To find out more about how the National Guard is delivering food, building hospitals, and working in our communities during the COVID pandemic, visit nationalguard.com/esports.
This year, Comic-Con at Home is streaming to you on IGN, and now you can watch it unfold on TikTok.
I love this show!
Celebrity interviews, epic trailers, cosplay, collectibles, and unforgettable moments from the biggest show in entertainment can now be crammed right into the palm of your hand. Check out IGN's TikTok for today's Comic-Con at Home challenge. Whoa! Not only is IGN the world's biggest media brand for games and entertainment, but we also have a team of some of the world's biggest fans of your favorite franchises. From breaking news and exclusives, never-before-seen looks at movies and games, to reviews, Let's Plays, and live streams, IGN brings you all the coverage you need, no matter where you are. Whether you're on IGN.com, the IGN app, YouTube, Facebook, or Snapchat, we've always got you covered. IGN, the number one source for all games and entertainment fans worldwide.
News, Games, and More is IGN's live news show every day of the week that covers all the day's news about games, movies, comics, and of course, more. This is our daily live show that takes a rotating cast of IGN talent, going over all the latest news of the day while taking live questions and comments from chat. We're live every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and you can find us on youtube.com/IGN and twitch.tv/IGN. See you there.
If you're not following IGN on social media, what are you waiting for? We're constantly updating our feeds to bring you the latest news, gameplay, custom original content, the best user-generated videos and art, memes, and a whole lot more. Be part of the conversation throughout the year. Follow IGN on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Snapchat.
Welcome back once again to IGN's Unlocked post-show for the Xbox Game Showcase. The big event has come and gone. We are all very, very happy about it. In fact, really, when you kind of go back, we've been piecing through everything we just saw. And guys, we have, a pretty good idea of what the launch lineup for the Series X is now. There are no doubt going to be some things added from here on out. But I want to just run you through the list, and then I want to get your reactions. So Halo Infinite, of course, the big one. That's the first launch title we ever knew of. And then the medium, Scorn. I know from Miranda's favorite genre, spooky scary. Tetris Effect Connected. That was one of the new announcements today. It's Tetris Effect is on other platforms, but this version is new and exclusive to Xbox. And it is and by the way, I'm saying they're all holiday 2020 titles. Let's just go ahead and call them launch titles because they pretty well are. And then Gears Tactics will be coming to Series X. It's been out on PC since the end of April, but it will be a new game for console players. Miranda and I have both played a bunch of that. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, we know about that one. Watch Dogs Legion, the Ubisoft 1-2 combo there. Dirt 5, because as Paris was mentioning, no Forza Motorsport at launch. They are early on in development. And so Dirt 5 will be your hopefully super pretty racing game. We know that one's supporting 120 frames per second. And then on the sports front, you've got next-gen versions of NBA 2K21 and Madden NFL 21. And then Outriders from Square, they had said holiday as well. And then Observer System Redux and The Ascent, which we saw back at the May event. That's that sort of Judge Dredd meets Diablo action RPG. Mm-hmm. And then plus, that doesn't even include the updates that Matt Booty was talking about at the end of the show. The Series X optimizations to some of the older stuff like Forza Horizon 4 and Gears 5. So Miranda, how are you feeling about this launch lineup this holiday?
You know, I actually really like the variety that we have here. We have like a lot of good things in between our Halo, because I know all of us are just going to prioritize Halo first. Starting to play Halo, they can bounce between testers back to play for some multiplayer stuff. And then if for everyone who didn't get to play Gears Tactics yet, that's a great thing. Score in a medium. No thanks. Big pass. Gonna just say, oh, wow, those exist. Not for me. I also like Yakuza Like a Dragon's gonna be on there as well. I'm very, very excited for that.
Oh, yes, thank you. I left that off.
Yeah, yeah. That's one that I'm super excited for because it's just so tonally different. Like, those games are so funny and just so varied in their gameplay. And I think that's gonna be an excellent one as well. And of course, then you have the big open worlds like Assassin's Creed Valhalla and then Watch Dogs Legion. So you're gonna have... I mean, like, there's a lot there, and that's just so much to, I guess, like, ingest. And I'm very excited for this. And, of course, so much Game Pass.
Yeah, and Phil Spencer did an interview on our show on Podcast Unlocked pretty early on in the pandemic, the work from home. And he kind of alluded to that, to the launch lineup in the interview when I was asking him about, well, how many first-party games are you going to have? And he really... kind of saying without saying implied there wouldn't be many because they want to have more of a steady flow of those first party games since all those go into Game Pass. And that's reflected here. This is it's mostly third party stuff with Halo as your heavy hitter. Brandon, Tyrell, how do you feel about this this launch lineup as we have sketched it out here?
I mean, I like the point you just brought up. It's you don't want to throw everything that you have, especially if it's not ready, right? I think Paris brought up a really good point with Forza in particular, which is, you know, leave it in the oven for as long as it takes before you pull it out. Having said that, I think the launch lineup is fairly strong. I really want to echo what Miranda said as well. The diversity on display right now is great. You've got open world RPGs, you've got shooters, you've got spoopy games, you've got Scorn, whatever that is, and Tetris. I mean, you know, body horror, the Giger lineup. You've literally got a game for just kind of every person, every type of person, every player. So that's great, right off the bat. But I think the one thing we didn't see outside of everything you've seen today is coming to Game Pass is the sort of elements that are going to be upgraded and evolved over time with the service. So keeping in mind, these are just the games that will be available at the launch, plus whatever else is on Game Pass as well. It's hard for me to think of a launch with more options to play in the past. So I think they're in a really, really strong spot as far as giving you reasons and offering things for you to play immediately as soon as you buy the console.
Vegas odds were very high that Miranda would be the first person to have a pet interrupt the broadcast. But no, it was not Miranda's cat this time. Paris Lilly, how about you? Yeah, we got a couple minutes left in this segment. How do you feel about the launch lineup here?
Well, my dog is very excited about the launch lineup, clearly. But I think it's very solid. I think, like Miranda alluded to earlier, it's very diverse. There's something there for everyone. I did see one omission of the launch lineup that kind of surprised me. Flight Simulator. It's not there.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, because, you know, we know it's coming out on a PC in August, but I just naturally assumed, kind of like Gears Tactics, they'd have it ready at the launch for the Series X. But overall, it's good. Like you said, Ryan, Halo is the flagship. That's the heavy hitter. That's what's going to bring everyone to the Xbox at launch, you know, for the Series X to be able to play. So overall, it's good, though. If you go back through the history of launch lineups, this is a pretty solid one. I think they did a good job.
And a lot of this, everything in the stream, of course, is coming to Game Pass day one, which we're going to talk about towards the end of the show here. But even a good number of these launch titles are Game Pass. So it's like they're really driving home the value of that subscription, which is pretty impressive. I mean, I will say, as far as the older stuff, I do want to dive back into Forza Horizon 4 at 4K 60 frames, because Horizon had always been 30 on this Xbox One generation, whereas Motorsport would prioritize and go 60. But it never stopped me from enjoying Forza Horizon, but my goodness, I cannot wait to see that thing running on that 4K TV behind me at 60 frames. So that's going to be super cool. All right, it is time for another quick break, but we'll be right back to keep the Xbox Games Talk going. And later on, again, right after this broadcast, we're going to go straight into Comic-Con at Home. IGN is your exclusive home for that. So stay tuned. We've got a whole lot more fun left to come right here on IGN.
Unlocked Live is presented by CBS All Access. Stream the new series Star Trek Lower Decks starting August 6th. Visit cbs.com/lowerdecks to try 1 week free. And presented by the Army National Guard. To find out more about how the National Guard is delivering food, building hospitals, and working in our communities during the COVID pandemic, visit nationalguard.com/esports. Still using those tiny phones and tablets to watch IGN? Give your eyeballs a rest, because IGN has moved to your living room. Get first looks and in-depth reviews of the most talked about titles.
Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Pleasure to be here.
And take a front row seat to the biggest events of the year. Tune in on your Samsung TV Plus, Pluto, and Flex, and take a load off. Tune in to IGN One.
Not only is IGN the world's biggest media brand for games and entertainment, but we also have a team of some of the world's biggest fans of your favorite franchises. From breaking news and exclusives, never-before-seen looks at movies and games, to reviews, Let's Plays, and live streams, IGN brings you all the coverage you need, no matter where you are. Whether you're on IGN.com, the IGN app, YouTube, Facebook, or Snapchat, we've always got you covered. IGN, the number one source for all games and entertainment fans worldwide.
This year, Comic-Con at Home is streaming to you on IGN, and now you can watch it unfold on TikTok.
I love this show!
Celebrity interviews, epic trailers, cosplay, collectibles, and unforgettable moments from the biggest show in entertainment can now be crammed right into the palm of your hand. Check out IGN's TikTok for today's Comic-Con at Home challenge. Whoa!
The next generation of video gaming is on the horizon, and IGN is here to bring you the latest PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X news and analysis in our new weekly show, Next Gen Console Watch 2020. We'll bring on the experts to discuss and analyze all the latest developments around these new consoles. From frame rates, services, features, peripherals, and even all the new tech jargon, Next Gen Console Watch 2020 will keep you up to speed on everything leading up to the next generation of gaming. Join us every Friday for a new episode.
Welcome back. The Unlocked Live post show for the Xbox Game Showcase continues. It's kind of an award show. It's a big pomp and circumstance for Xbox. So I thought we'd be fun to go around the room here and do a best in show for the couple dozen games we just saw. Great stuff here. I will go to Brandon Tyrell's way first. Brandon, your favorite of the show here.
So I guess as an honorable mention, I have to say Halo, right? I mean, that was
sure.
That was gorgeous. I'm really excited for that series. I've already spoken at length about Avowed, how excited I am for that. But those didn't win the show for me. The best in show for me was Xbox Game Pass. I mean, this is a service where literally everything that we just watch, you're going to be able to play with a subscription. Like, that is crazy to me. I know it kind of feels like I'm sick of hearing myself talk about it right now, but it really is just an incredible service. And I'm still confused how they make money. I don't know how they do it, but really committing to that as a next gen service for players to be able to just play everything that they're showing off. It kind of still blows my mind. I don't know. We'll see how the service evolves over time, but that element stole the show for me.
Paris, how about you, my friend?
So honorable mention, I have two. As Dust Falls, I really love that style, just the genre that's going towards it. Again, I keep saying beautiful, but just a beautiful game. And then Stalker 2, that looks fun. Looks like a lot of fun to me. So definitely on my radar. But when I talk about actual games of the show, Like you just said, Game Pass, because we're the ones that win because of Game Pass. We have access to all these games that we got to see today, which is amazing. Then, of course, you're going to put Halo in there. And then I got to say Avowed. I mean, Avowed, that is just right up my alley. Obsidian has been one of my favorite development studios ever. Fallout New Vegas is just one of my favorite games. The Outer Worlds was amazing. So the fact that they're making this Skyrim-esque, you know, RPG, sign me up. I'm in. Absolutely. I love what I got to see today.
And you mentioned As Dusk Falls. I wanted to just pull up, I have just on this other screen, a description here, just to, for a little extra context for people of why Paris is excited about this game. As Dusk Falls is an original interactive drama from Interior Night, a new studio comprised of a mix of award-winning industry veterans and new emerging talent. Headed by Caroline Marshall, former lead game designer at Quantic Dream, the studio is focused on creating ambitious and innovative interactive narratives. And I'll tell you guys, some of my favorite PlayStation games have been the Quantic Dream games. They haven't always hit. I mean, Beyond Two Souls was a bit of a miss for me, but I really liked Detroit Become Human. They've done some really risky storytelling, you know, stuff we don't often see in games. So if Caroline's going to bring that kind of flavor to Xbox, I think that's a really just welcome, awesome thing. Miranda, let me go your way next. Best in show, what do you say?
All right, going to start with my honorable mentions first. Surprising for me, it was a Crossfire X campaign. Obviously, Lemony is doing that, and I love what they do. So I was actually pretty surprised to see how drawn in I was to that. I didn't really care about that game too much before, and now I'm like, oh, you have my interest. I want to see what this is. I always like seeing first-person shooter campaigns and seeing like how they can push boundaries with storytelling, because I feel like some of them get kind of rinse repeat or a little generic. There's only so much you can do whenever you're doing a first-person shooter. And I think finding more innovative ways to have like cool stories is really what I want to see. And so I think we're getting a lot more of those recently. And this could be part of that group. And I'm excited to see more about it. So that was one of my honorable mentions. The other one is Everwild. Still not super sure what that game is, but it sure is pretty. And I do like animals. So I do love that, like the idea. It's like you're working together to maybe like better your environment and just have a good thing. And Paris, as you mentioned earlier, that Studio Ghibli feel, I feel like environmentalism is such a big thing for Ghibli, and like they just want to make sure that, you know, it's like we have to protect this environment, we have to protect this world, like it's really important, like there's so much beauty in nature that we can shine on, and that's what this game is. It's like, let's look at how we coexist here, and like look at these beautiful animals, and they're so imaginative, and I just love that whole aspect of it, and like that adventure skew to it too seems really neat. So very much looking forward to seeing more of that. And then as for my best in show, I think Games Pass humanizes the chief a little bit, like kind of is like a good contrast of like him is like, you know, this like soldier who's just kind of like out of touch with a lot of things, like his only real companion for so long was Cortana. And like, you know, she's got some stuff going on right now. So like seeing him get a new partner in crime essentially is really cool. And I'm really excited to see what their dynamic is. And I think that story part's going to be really neat. And all we know of him right now is the pilot. Something that we also went into like our story bit, Ryan, that you reported on, was that the pilot's name is actually pretty important and we don't know what it is. Or I guess like, or somehow of like him exposing his name is important to the story somehow. So they just wouldn't tell us what he's named. So I think that's like really interesting to see how they're framing that already. And I don't know, I obviously love Halo, so I have to give that a best in show. And I of course wish we could have seen more of the gameplay, but I'm really happy we got what we did.
Yeah. I'll say, I'll be totally honest. Like Grounded is a game that I have had very little excitement for up to date. I mean, it's not, I'll just be honest. It's not what I'm looking for from Obsidian. But I have to say, it's the way that they really leaned into the kind of almost self-deprecating, like, hey, we know this isn't a big RPG, which they were able to do since they did show off a big RPG elsewhere in the conference right afterwards, in fact. So I think Grounded, I'll tell you, it's if they're able to work a cool narrative into that game, it's slowly starting to win me over. So that I thought was pretty cool. And then I want to mention Stalker 2, which is a game that, if you've played it on PC, it's one of the more revered first person shooters that in somewhat recent years on PC. And Stalker 2 has been quietly in development for a while. So I'm really eager to see this one because I am a sucker for narrative focused, immersive first-person shooters, and this could totally fit the bill. But as far as my best in show, I'm not going to stray too far from the group here. I do 100% agree that the answer is Xbox Game Pass. I mean, I arguably, you could say Microsoft, up until today, hadn't done a good enough job of just beating people over the head with how great this service is and how much you get with it for the asking price each month. But I think today's showcase sort of, it served complementary achievements and goals, and that the rub against Xbox has been, well, there aren't enough games. Well, guess what? They just showed a ton of games, diverse games, interesting games, new IPs, revivals of old stuff, and everything that first party does goes into Game Pass. And then they even showed off some of the great third party stuff that are console launch exclusives that are going into Game Pass too. So it really is like, I guess if you added up the suggested retail prices of everything you just saw in that hour-long showcase, turns out you only have to pay like $10 per month. And I mean, I don't know how many months it would take you to play all 20 something of those games, but that was really a big coup for Microsoft. But I'm going to go with Miranda for my proper game pick, and Halo Infinite is the MVP. It's the real MVP for me. Miranda, when you and I saw it early the other day, I was so happy that there wasn't a camera on me as I was watching it, because I was giddy watching that trailer, stepping off the crash ship for the first time onto the Halo ring, doing that Halo 1 style look around, and just some of the cool environmental things. By the way, we learned there is a day-night cycle on the ring, which you get a little sense of. They kind of, I don't want to say faked it, but they kind of baked it in there. You see it here from towards the end of the trailer when the sun's going down. But I cannot wait to be on this Halo ring. The new weapons look great. That Riot shotgun looked super cool. The pistol sounds just beefier than ever. And is it going to be more of a Halo 1 death shot, three shot death machine pistol? I don't know, but yeah, Halo Infinite. We don't know what we won't know. You know, Paris raised great concerns about the story. Like, is the story gonna be there and really pull you through? And will it be a great Halo story? So that remains to be seen. And certainly, we haven't played it. We don't know how it feels on the new Slipspace engine yet. But I think this was a great first step for that Halo Infinite needed. I think it sets the right tone. It's got me feeling really good about it so far. And so it won't be too much longer. I mean, this game is out in what, 4 or 5 months, depending on when the console launch date is. So bring on Halo Infinite. All right, we have got about 15 minutes left. We're going to take another quick break here, but there is more to come. And be sure to, again, stick around later, because Comic-Con at Home is going to move your interests from your video game interests over to well, basically the rest of pop culture. We've got that covered for you on Comic-Con at Home. But stay tuned for a little bit more Xbox talk right after this.
Unlocked Live is presented by CBS All Access. Stream the new series Star Trek Lower Decks starting August 6th. Visit cbs.com/LowerDecks to try 1 week free. And presented by the Army National Guard. To find out more about how the National Guard is delivering food, building hospitals, and working in our communities during the COVID pandemic, visit nationalguard.com/esports.
This year, Comic-Con at Home is streaming to you on IGN, and now you can watch it unfold on TikTok.
I love this show!
Celebrity interviews, epic trailers, cosplay, collectibles, and unforgettable moments from the biggest show in entertainment can now be crammed right into the palm of your hand. Check out IGN's TikTok for today's Comic-Con at Home challenge. Whoa!
News, games, and more is IGN's live news show every day of the week that covers all the day's news about games, movies, comics, and of course, more. This is our daily live show that takes a rotating cast of IGN talent, going over all the latest news of the day while taking live questions and comments from chat. We're live every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and you can find us on youtube.com/IGN and twitch.tv/IGN. See you there.
The next generation of video gaming is on the horizon, and IGN is here to bring you the latest PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X news and analysis in our new weekly show, Next Gen Console Watch 2020. We'll bring on the experts to discuss and analyze all the latest developments around these new consoles. From frame rates, services, features, peripherals, and even all the new tech jargon, Next Gen Console Watch 2020 will keep you up to speed on everything leading up to the next generation of gaming. Join us every Friday for a new episode.
Still using those tiny phones and tablets to watch IGN? Give your eyeballs a rest, because IGN has moved to your living room. Get first looks and in-depth reviews of the most talked about titles.
Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Pleasure to be here.
And take a front row seat to the biggest events of the year. Tune in on your Samsung TV Plus, Pluto, and Flex, and take a load off. Tune in to
also
IGN
no Battletoads.
No, no banjo.
We are back, and we just talked through the. There's a show going on in the commercial break that you guys don't get to hear, but that's all right. We've got one last segment, plenty more to talk about, because that was a busy, awesome, jam-packed show. So, just we did our picks for best in show, but just overall here, we talked in the pre-show about this being the most important Xbox event possibly ever. So I want to go around the table again and just get everybody's thoughts on the event overall. How did you feel about this? I'll start with Miranda Sanchez.
Yeah, so I, as we've said multiple times so far, I love the variety of games. I think I also really liked how they framed this as a, hey, we're checking in with a lot of our studios today. Like, here's what's happening. Here are these studios that have maybe already announced something. We're just kind of giving you a small update. And that was the case with Ninja Theory. They're like, hey, we're still working on Hellblade, and we're going to do a developer log, and just kind of giving you a little update on that. Well, I think that was good for a lot of us fans who are kind of into the Xbox ecosystem and know which studios they have. I don't know if that was necessarily the most fitting spot. Like, it kind of helped make a little bit of a lull in the excitement, I think, because we already know about Hellblade, but they didn't show anything new, so it was a little bit weird. But overall, I did like the studio check. Like, this is, like you look at Obsidian, and they have, like, all these different kinds of games coming out. Like, hey, we're going grounded, but also we have this really cool new RPG that we want to show you. And I think that was, like, a really neat little touch that they had there.
Yeah, Obsidian showed three games.
Yeah. Yeah, they showed their DLC, they showed Grounded, and they showed,
Back to Back to Back.
Yeah.
About,
yes. I always want to call it Avast, but I'm like, no, this is not Sea of Thieves.
We just met. It'll take time.
Yeah, you told me your name like three times, but I need to tell you one more time, please. That's the kind of person I am. But I think it was like a really, it generally really good showcase, especially because it was all wrapped in that very nice, as we've said again, that Game Pass wrapper, that this context is like, if you're a Game Pass subscriber, you're getting all of these games. And it's like, how is it? I can't not be excited for that. Like, I didn't ever want to buy Tetris Effect, but now I'm like, man, I could just download and play with my friends. That's like as easy as that. And that's really exciting for me. And then I do, of course, love how they started it with Halo and ended it with Fable.
Yes. Paris, your thoughts on this showcase overall?
So I'm kind of two minds of this. First of all, it was a very solid show. I like the diversity of games that we saw. We've obviously talked a lot about Game Pass being the star of this, which, honorable mention, I forgot to say earlier, Bungie bringing Destiny 2 to Game Pass with all the expansions is huge. That's huge for anyone that's a fan of Destiny. It just gives you another platform to be able to play that game on if you're already on PC or whatever, like me. But going back to the point, I don't know, like, we talked about this being the most important show, the most important event in Xbox history. I don't feel like it hit that mark. I feel like it was just a solid show. I don't think this did enough for anyone that was potentially on the fence or was completely against hopping into the Xbox ecosystem. I don't know if this did enough to convince them just
yet. I agree, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I think
they need solid, to do a little more. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, sorry. I know it's like hard to talk a little bit organically on this kind of setup, but I just wanted to say that I totally agree with those thoughts. That solid showcase, but as you're saying.
Yeah, I think the best way to sum it up is if I was already invested into the Xbox ecosystem, if I was already a Game Pass subscriber, I'm cheering. I'm super excited about this. If I was sitting outside the ecosystem, did I see enough games to make me want to invest $10 a month, $15 a month into Game Pass? Did what they showed of Halo was that enough to make me say, all right, I want to jump back into Halo? There's definitely more to the story that needs to be told. And maybe the rumors of an August event finishes that story for them to give us the complete tale of launch. But this almost feels like a part one of a multi-part story that they need to finish to tell.
How about you, Brandon? How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I mean, what is there left to say? Everybody sort of touched on all the notes. First of all, as a show itself, as a showcase, I thought the pacing was fantastic, right? They kept the speed moving, announcement after announcement. There weren't a lot of moments where you were sitting there waiting for the next thing to come up. Having said all that, there were a couple of boxes that you needed to check. You need to show them what they're going to get on launch with the console, and then you need to show them why they need to stick around for the future. I think they accomplished both of those to degrees, but I completely agree with Paris. I was waiting for that sort of show-stopping moment where you see something and you're like, well, that's it. I have to buy an Xbox now. I have to buy it. You could make that case a little bit for Halo. You could make that case a little bit for Fable. But those are sort of known quantities. I mean, yes, Fable was a reveal, but it was kind of the worst kept secret. I think what Paris and Miranda both said is really strong. It's if you are already in the system, this was even more evidence and more proof that you're in the right place and that you're going to get what you want and you're going to get all this new stuff. If you're not in the system, I'm not sure that this was the show that convinces you to abandon competitors and join this family, or B, I think best case B, this gave you a solid example of why this needs to be part of your gaming portfolio, part of that arsenal that you use to play video games. But I don't think this was the plant the flag in the ground and say, this is now the ecosystem that you need to be involved with. I don't think that, I think there's still time to get there. That rumored August event where they'll discuss the consoles a little bit more. I think we are going to have an opportunity to really have a fantastic showing for this and for this ecosystem. And while I did love the showcase, I think it could have been a little stronger. But like I said, the star of the show was absolutely Game Pass for me. And the fact that, that's the service that they want you to be a part of, it really shows where their priority is.
Yeah, I think you're right about, I think Avowed and Fable were probably the two, even though Fable was very expected and Avowed wasn't, were probably the two closest things to that holy cow kind of moment. Yeah. But they're both seemingly early in development, so they were both more or less CGI teasers and not proper gameplay reveals. But I will say, for my part, for having been a guy that wrote an editorial on IGN about how this is the most important event that they've ever had and they need to answer back to Sony, I think they did do a really good job of answering back. Sony had a great showcase in June. I think this was a great start to finish showcase. I do think this was the best event that Xbox has put on in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Their E3 press conferences for me tend to be very good, but never quite like, wow, you are talking about it the next day with your friends. This had, this came, I think, much closer to that with Fable, with Avowed, and the Game Pass narrative that we've been talking about all hour long. So yeah, I do salute Microsoft. I think my big takeaway from this, or my big opinion, is they needed this. It wasn't bogged down with too much filler, as you were saying, Brandon. They kept it moving. There were a ton of games from a lot of different studios, a lot of game diversity, yes, and everything going into Game Pass. It's like, how do you? It's definitely, you want to look at Xbox as, wow, I will get, if I get this into this ecosystem, either on my PC,
right,
or on a Series X, I will get a lot of value for the money I'm going to pay on that. So I feel really good for Microsoft. Now, coming up, which you guys alluded to, we're expecting an event in August. Mm-hmm. The rumor is that we will get the Xbox Lockhart, Project Lockhart, which is the lower priced but lower specification console, announced and revealed at that event, with presumably a price, and then we think that's when we'll probably get the launch date for everything as well. So a lot of those pieces should fall into place next month. Whether or not we get a part two games wise there remains to be seen, because there are a number of studios that we hear from today, yeah. which Microsoft was clear at the top. The initiative, so the perfect dark mystery stays going for a while longer. We don't know if the initiative game is the new IP or if it's going to be that perfect dark reimagining. We didn't see anything from Compulsion, makers of We Happy Few, another new Xbox studio. Certainly the Coalition, we assume that they're hard at work on Gears 6. We did not see that here as well. And then In Exile, Microsoft's other RPG studio, Obsidian clearly got their moment in the sun today and well-deserved. But In Exile, headed by Brian Fargo, a just industry legend in the RPG space, they're finishing up Wasteland 3, which is out at the end of August. But we do know that their next project is going to be an Unreal Engine 5 role-playing game and that they are staffing up big time to work on that. So there's still a lot of cards left for Microsoft to play, which will further help tell their story. But I was very impressed with today, and it sounds like everybody pretty well was. And yeah, good job, Microsoft. It was fun to watch, fun to cover. I want to say thank you to Miranda Sanchez, Brandon Tyrell, and especially Paris Lilly for joining us from Gamertag Radio. Before I go, Paris, where can we follow you at?
You can follow me on Twitter at Vicious696. And as you alluded to, I'm a part of Gamertag Radio. So your favorite RSS feed, you can find us as a podcast. I also have my own YouTube channel as well. Just search my name, Paris, on YouTube. You'll find me there. And I have to say, Destin's not here. I'm his replacement. So bam.
There it is. Nicely well done. Brandon Tyrell, where can we find you,
Michael? You can find me on Twitter at Brandon Tyrell and at a lovely little site called IGN.com. Go check out all the good work we do there.
Speaking of which, Miranda Sanchez, you've got the aforementioned exclusive Halo content up there right now.
Yes, absolutely. You can find me on IGN.com. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and pretty much everywhere else at HavocGross, and that's Havoc with a K. And please, for sure, check out the Halo interviews that we did. I think that they're really cool and give some nice insight into these games. Or into Halo that we didn't get to talk too much about.
Fantastic. You can find me on Twitter at DMC_Ryan. And I've got a couple of those Halo Infinite pieces up alongside Miranda's today. Spend some time on IGN today. There is a lot of wrap up to cover from this Xbox game showcase, but Comic-Con at Home is coming up. So that's going to do it for us on this special episode of Podcast Unlocked, the Xbox post show here. But we've got, again, tons more happening all day and through the weekend with Comic-Con at Home. IGN is streaming dozens of hours of content, including all of the best panels every day. So be sure to check that out. You're seeing a little bit of that schedule on your screen now. Today, we've got panels for Amazon's Utopia, The New Mutants, Amazon's The Boys, and so much more. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. This was Podcast Unlocked, covering the Xbox Game Showcase. Tune in to Unlocked every Tuesday on IGN or your favorite podcast platform. We'll see you next time.
Bam!
Unlocked Live is presented by CBS All Access. Stream the new series Star Trek Lower Decks starting August 6th. Visit cbs.com/LowerDecks to try 1 week free. And presented by the Army National Guard. To find out more about how the National Guard is delivering food, building hospitals, and working in our communities during the COVID pandemic, visit nationalguard.com/esports.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nall, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season 2 even more memorable together.